Well, how you doing? You jokers are all out there in your shorts, and here I am. That's all right. I got a couple hours left. We've had a tough week here at the church. Pastor Ed's been sick. Pastor Cord's been sick. I've had a call. Some of the secretaries have been sick. Doctors said they think it's a staph infection. Loosen up, people. It's Christmas time. It's Christmas time. The stress is behind us. You know, what's sad is how many people try to bury this story. People are terrified of the story. They're terrified of Jesus, and I don't get it. You know what? Atheists don't threaten me in the slightest. Do they bother you? I don't care if you're an atheist. I don't care if you're an agnostic. It really doesn't bother me at all, but for some reason, we as Christians terrify people. You know, their atheists took out billboards around Colorado Springs that said, whatever you do, don't go to church on Christmas. Now, why would you spend your money on that? Why are they so afraid of this story? Why are they so afraid of Jesus? In fact, underneath little print, it said, just be good for goodness sake. Let me help you. There was a couple in San Bernardino that killed 14 people. Being good for goodness sake. They were doing what they thought was good. Am I telling the truth? They were doing what they thought was good. That's what happens if you lose sight of the reality of the hope that you have in a God who would rather blow himself up than to have you blow yourself up for him. We have a God who loved us enough to come and to be born in a humble manger and die on a terrible cross because he loved us. Story yesterday, just hot off the press. Politician in Israel said, I don't get it. I don't see what part Jesus has to play in Israel. Well, I'm not real smart. I mean, I have some education, but Bethlehem's in Israel. Jerusalem is in Israel. But that shows you how ignorant people are of the story or how afraid people are of the story. And I want you to know tonight that this story is so great that we don't want anyone to miss it. I don't know if you've heard the story before, if it's brand new to you, the story that was just read about a God who stepped into time and shepherds came and celebrated and angels proclaimed the birth. And we are here 2,000 years later, literally with 2.5 billion other people around the world celebrating this Jesus. That's what we came to do today. And listen, hope is what he brought. Hope is what no other religion has. Hope is what your belief in yourself doesn't have. Hope is what an atheist doesn't have. But hope is what a Christian has. Because hope says there's something beyond this world. There's something I can hang on to. There's a God of justice. There's a God of forgiveness. There's a God of peace. Because you came in here tonight with all kinds of hurts and worries and burdens and struggles. And Christmas may not be everything you thought it was going to be. And your ex-husband didn't do what he should have done. And somebody's dead. And there, all these stories are piled up in your head. But Christmas reminds us that hope came. And hope came in a very tangible form. He took on flesh. He was born for us. And listen to me, he's the king worth visiting. And that's what the shepherds teach us in this particular story. How many of you have seen pictures of Niagara Falls? How many of you have been to Niagara Falls? How many of you would rather have a postcard than go there? It's not the same, is it? I got all kinds of postcards of Niagara Falls. I got postcards of the Grand Canyon. But you know what? There is nothing like being there. It's like when it comes to our spiritual lives, people are like, well, you know what? Just send me a postcard. Just a postcard of Jesus will be enough. Tell me how the service went. Tell me the story. Just give me the cliff notes. Rather than saying, no, I want to be a part of this. See, the shepherds said, I don't know what's going on, but we're not going to miss this. The angel said, today in the city of David, a Savior's been born. And they said, we're not missing this. These guys never had anything good happen to them their whole life. They've been playing with sheep. They've been watching sheep. They're the poorest of the poor. And they get a chance to be a part of the greatest moment in history. Here's my question. Where's everybody else? There are tens of thousands of people that could have been there. Jerusalem's full of people. Bethlehem's a little village, but 7 miles away is Jerusalem. And there are tens of thousands of people who are there, and they missed it. They were all content to read the Jerusalem Post the next day. They were all okay with hearing the story from somebody else. But the shepherd said, we're going to visit. We want this experience for ourselves. And I want you to know today that that's why Jesus came. Jesus came to have a connection with you. For God so loved the world that He gave His own Son for you. So you and I would have a connection with Him, not a postcard about Him. Does that make sense to anybody? Jesus also, not only is He a King worth visiting, He's a King worth worshiping. Now that word worship may not mean a whole lot to you. But when you worship something, you invest in it. That's my time. If you go into my office, you'll see all kinds of stuff I have wasted money on. You'll find cardinal stubs from all kinds of years. You'll find autographed pictures in there of cardinal players. Like, why would you spend money on that? Because in my world, in my head, I deem some of those things to be of value. But when it comes to Jesus, the question is, do we deem Him worthy of that kind of value? Is He worth my time? Is He worth my energy? Is He worth my celebration? See, if you came today and you're only here to listen to everybody else celebrate God, you missed it. We're going to sing some great songs at the end, so you're going to have a chance. If you've been sitting there like a bump on a log, you'll have a chance to actually be able to add your voice to the huge crowd of people around the world that are celebrating God. You know, when a few months ago, I had the privilege of being in Chicago. This is for my Cub fans over here, all right? The last place, in fact, one of the few stadiums I've never seen a baseball game in is Wrigley Field. But because I was in Chicago, I went because, well, you need to see places like that. I was in Wisconsin. We did all the stuff you do in Wisconsin around the Dells and all of that. And we're 30 miles from Lambeau Field, the Packers. I don't even care about football. I certainly don't care about the Packers. But I told my wife, I said, I've got to go to Lambeau Field. She's like, you've lost your mind. We've been driving for like 2 days. She goes, drop me off at the hotel. I'm not going anywhere. And I drove 30 more miles and I got out and I took pictures of that stadium because history's happened there and things have happened there. And I didn't want a postcard. I didn't just want to hear about it. I wanted to be a part of it. And I hope that's why you came tonight. Listen, Proverbs 22:6 says, if we train up a child in the way he should go, when he's old, he won't depart from it. You've got the greatest opportunity of your parenting life, either tonight or tomorrow morning. I don't know when chaos ensues at your house. But whenever that moment happens, daddies, listen to me. You have a chance to change everything. You get out your Bible and you read Luke 2. Or you read Matthew 2. Or read Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. Read Isaiah 7. Read about the birth of Jesus and you say a prayer over your family. I know chaos is going to ensue, but let your family know that Jesus is worthy of worship and it's His day and it's about Him and it's about Him being the priority in our lives. Is anybody still here? And then finally, He's a King that's worthy of our best gifts. Now the wise men show up, and there weren't three wise men, just trust me, okay? If you'd like to have a historical talk, I will. Honestly, I think there were hundreds, maybe thousands. Where'd they come from? Well, it's interesting. There are legends that say they came from everywhere. There are legends that say they came out of Persia. There are legends that say they came out of China. There are legends that say they came from all over the Roman Empire. And that's very possible. Because here's the one thing I know for sure. If three guys would have showed up to King Herod, I know there's a lot of kids here, so I'll be careful. But Herod was one of the most barbaric human beings to ever live on the earth. He killed most of his own family. He killed hundreds of other people. And he would have killed those three guys. But there weren't three guys. There were hundreds of guys. And they've got their entourages with them. And Herod is terrified. that these people have come. We think there were three because of the gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They represent the fact, the gold, that he was a king, the frankincense, that he is God, that he's worthy of worship, and the myrrh was representing the fact that he was Messiah and he was going to die for us. It's a spice they use in embalming. That's what it represented. But it doesn't say three guys brought it. There was huge entourages of people who came. So here's my question to all of us, to you, to me. What do you get a king? What do you get the king of the universe? What do you give him? You give him your best. Whether we're talking about time or money, whether we're talking about our energy, if we're talking about helping those around us, but God does not deserve our second or third best. If you're going to travel around the world to meet the King of Kings, a king that's worth visiting and a king that's worth worshiping, you're not going to bring your second best gift, are you? No, they didn't. They brought their very best gifts. So my question is, this Christmas, what will we bring? What will you bring to Jesus? Not just tomorrow. I think sometimes we think, well, I'm going to do something tomorrow for Jesus because it's his birthday. You know what? We celebrate Jesus year-round, guys. And the question is, what is it I give him? You know what? It's all about age appropriate. If I had a 70-year-old man, I would not give him a Tonka truck. If I had a newborn boy, I wouldn't hand him the keys to a new Dodge Ram. I would give the right gift to the right person. So the question is, what kind of a gift? What do you have that's worthy of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Let me finish with this poem. You may have heard it before. It'll probably offend you, and that's all right. 'Twas the night before Christmas when all through the land not a Christian was praying nor taking a stand. Why PC police had taken away the reason for Christmas, no one would say. The children were told by their schools not to sing about shepherds and wise men and angels and things. Might hurt someone's feelings, the teachers would say. And Christmas was now just a holiday. Yet the shoppers were ready with cash, checks, and credit, trampling each other to death just to get it. CDs from rock stars, an Xbox or an iPod. Something was changing, something quite odd. Retailers promoted Ramadan and Kwanzaa in hopes to sell books by Franken and Fonda. As targets were hanging their trees upside down at Lowe's, the word Christmas nowhere to be found. At Kmart and Staples and Walmart and Sears, no Merry Christmas, it won't touch your ears. Inclusive, sensitive, diversity. All words that are used to intimidate me. Even in the Senate, there arose such a clatter to eliminate Jesus in all public matter. We spoke not a word as they took away our faith, forbidden to speak of salvation and grace. The true gift of Christmas, exchanged and discarded. The reason for the season stopped before it started. So as you celebrate winter break, solstice, the dream tree, sipping your Starbucks, listen to me. Choose your words carefully. Choose what you say. Jesus is still the reason for the season. Merry Christmas.